Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to tell a story I haven't told in a long time, take you back. And what I'm trying to cover here is the motivation, the deep motivation that was ingrained into me to want to become a financially successful individual. And really, when you go through the story in my mind, as I just outlined it in my head here very quickly, it's an entire life of finding out that people weren't really out there for your own benefit. They all wanted to take care of themselves, not really take care of you. There really wasn't those connections. Now, I'm sure other people had better family relationships than I did. My mother was an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic. My mother was also a drug addict of some prescription types. So obviously, a lot of people had better family lives than I had growing up. But that's not really even the deepest part of the failure. The real failure came that I want to talk to you about today is the failure of society. Now, I learned, because I had family problems, to distrust social norms. So I had a head start in this game. But when I got into college, I figured out very quickly that going through all of these ridiculous classes really meant nothing. And it wasn't that I didn't try. I didn't had good grades. That wasn't the problem. Teachers liked me. I was very attentive. I was involved. I liked learning. But what I could see was everybody else around me really didn't like learning and really didn't care. It was really unimportant to them how the facts really laid out. You could read a chapter on history and a week later take a test and they couldn't tell you what they read. I mean, it's amazing. And to this day, I can't believe watching people on TV that are in college, the college-age kids, you ask them, what is this, the capital of this state, or what country was this, what war was that? They don't know any of that stuff. They know nothing. Literally know nothing. And yet they're going to go out there and get through life somehow, some way. So I figured out very quickly a fact about life that my dad had taught to me at a very early age. It just reiterated it to me even further, and that was, he said, Del, here's the way it works. 75% of the people won't even show up for the fight. They won't show up for the job. They won't show up for school. You know, they'll just give up. 75% of the people just give up. He said 85%, the next 10% in totality, if they don't give up, they wear out. They burn out. They don't care. They don't bring any excitement to what they do in life. And it doesn't matter what you do. You could be excited about being the best toilet bowl cleaner, the best lawnmower, the best newspaper delivery guy, the best McDonald's worker. And, you know, I'm talking about the stuff I did when I was young. And my dad would say, hey, each and every one of those jobs deserves. If it doesn't deserve to be done, if it deserves to be done, it deserves to be done right. But I didn't see anybody doing that. He goes on and says, that's 85. He said, 95% of the people, Del, 95% of the people, if you study, if you just study and try to perfect your skill sets, you can beat 95% of the people every time. You beat 75% just by showing up. You'll beat 85% by doing the job you're given. You can beat 95% by bringing the right attitude and desire to learn your job, your skill, or whatever it is in life, and master it. And then I said, well, what's the last 5%? He goes, Del, that's the 5% reserved for the people that are superhuman. There are people out there that have abnormal high abilities at different things, whether it be sports. And you can try all day long, Del, to be a pro basketball player. You're not tall enough. You're not fast enough. You could work your butt off. You're never going to be a superstar there. You got to pick the things you're good at. And you can excel that last 5% if you pick something you're good at. And, you know, that was just like, okay, I get that. But I can beat 95% of the people just by showing up and doing the job right? Yeah, it's easy to win. Winning's easy. Just show up, study, do the job, compete, and you can beat 95% of the people. And it turned out that he was right. in almost everything in life. So when I was in college, I could see that these people weren't even showing up, man. First day of class, 500 people in the lecture hall. Within 2 months, it was down to 200 people. Within 6 months, it was down to 100 people. I mean, people were just falling off, dropping like flies. And the ones that were there didn't study. They got bad grades. It was simple to beat all those people. It was simple to be the top in your class. Now, there were some super genius people out there. And, you know, those were the super geniuses. There's no doubt about it. I don't claim to be a super genius. I was just the guy that got up and did the work, showed up, worked hard, studied, stayed involved, and hence beat 95% of the people, whatever it is I've ever tried to do. All right, so we move on. I decide that, you know, this college stuff's really a waste of time. Now think about why. I read somewhere that, I think it was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. He said that information knowledge is useless. Specific information and knowledge is absolutely imperative. So you need to know how to do something specific. And what college was teaching you was just a whole bunch of generalized information. You know, I'm thinking back at the classes I took, such as, you know, calculus, algebra, not algebra, algebra I use every day, but calculus. Go up the line of math. I mean, there's different, you know, you get into trigonometry, you know, you get into statistics. These things, if you were studying those to be specifically for a particular job, would be very important. But for the general person out there, they probably never use them. Probably don't use any math above, you know, fifth grade math. Maybe not even that high. Add, subtract, multiply, divide. That's it. Boom. And when you look at that situation, you see that the amount of energy and money and time that's thrown at college doesn't create really anything for you other than some useless generalized information. So, well, what it did for most kids is it let them grow up. They weren't really ready to get out in the real world yet. They were still really screw-ups. And so I saw all those kids as screw-ups, but I wasn't a screw-up. I was beyond that. So I decided in my junior year I was going to leave. And I remember going into my dad and saying, you know, Dad, I know you wanted me to get a college degree. You were the first guy in your family to get a college degree. You really wanted me to have a college degree, but you know, it's just not worth it to me. I need to get out there in the world and earn my first $1 million. I need to get out there and become who I'm going to become and establish myself as something important. And I was really surprised when my dad turned around to me and he looked at me and said, son, man's got to do what a man's got to do. And I was really surprised to hear him say that. He said, but you know what that means, right? And I said, no, what does that mean? He says, it's time. You've risen to that point in your life. It's time. I said, time for what, Dad? He said, get out. Get out. That's it. It's over. I paid for you to come this far. You're a man. You're making your own decisions. You're ready to go tackle the world. Go tackle the world. Get out. And that's what they don't have this day and age anymore. The kids are soft. They've been coddled. They don't know how to get out. They don't know how to get out on their own. But by getting out on my own, I had to make some very strong decisions financially, career-wise, that made all the difference. And so I looked up what the five fastest growing cities in the country were, did some demographic work, decided to hit all five of those cities and decide, you know, after I've seen a little bit of the world, where I wanted to stay. So I drove from Madison, Wisconsin down to Dallas, Texas. And Madison was where I was going to college at. I drove down to Dallas, Texas, and one of the things I wanted to get away from was the snow and the cold up north. I said, I'm going to live in the south or the west, south, somewhere warm. Got to Dallas, had the largest snowstorm they'd ever had in their history. He said, oh, that's it. Just drove right on through, didn't even stop. Got down to Houston, Texas, and the city was ugly. I went down to Galveston. The water was ugly. I came from Wisconsin where the water's crystal clear. It's glacial lakes. It's unbelievably beautiful. And forests and, you know, all kinds of outdoor stuff. And here there's nothing. It's flat. Oil. In fact, there had been an oil leakage in the Galveston Bay, and the bay was just covered with oil balls and stuff. It was just disgusting. So I decided, well, you know what? I'm running out of money here, and I really don't know the city. Let me just pull over and see what I can see here at this city. Let's try to spend a couple of days, weeks here at this city and see if there's any jobs or whatever. So I muddled around a little bit, went to a job placement company, and they stuck me in a finance company as an assistant manager, finance manager trainee. I go, wow, that's pretty easy. I'm right into finance already. This is good stuff. And really what it was just one of these small finance companies where they lend money to people on their furniture and then collect the money back. It was really just loan sharks is all it was. I don't even know if they're in business anymore. But their lie to me, which was the beginning of the end, of all this stuff was that you go through this manager trainee program. You get paid $600 a month, which is below minimum wage, but it was a salary, so they could do it. And if you go through this training program, you could, in a, you know, conceivably 2 or 3 years, end up a manager making, you know, $40,000-$50,000 a year. And I said, okay. So I went to work there 8 hours a day doing nothing but collecting money from people, talking to people, cold calling people, trying to get them to want to borrow money to come in and see the boss. And all the while, because I was broke, single, living in a one bedroom of an apartment, I couldn't even afford an apartment. I rented a bedroom from somebody of an apartment. I had nothing to do, so I studied. And I studied and trained, studied and trained, studied and trained. So this course was supposed to take 5 years. I did it in 6 months. At the end of 6 months, I passed all the tests, and I said, okay, I'm ready to move up to manager. And they go, are you out of your mind? You're like 21 years old, 22. You can't be a manager of a business. And that was it. I knew it was a scam. The whole concept behind manager trainee, if you ever get into any business and they tell you it's manager trainee business, it's a scam. It's a way to keep you hooked up, working for minimum wage, working on this salary, subpar salary. And you know, eventually you'll burn out. They'll get another one, another flunky. So I left and I said, you know, I'm going to go do something where they can't cheat me. So I went and became a truck driver for a dairy company. These guys were making big bucks. They were making $1,000 a day driving these trucks. What I didn't understand was the way they were making $1,000 a day was they were stealing dairy products. What they do is they load up the truck in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I would be a helper. That's how I'd learn the business again. There we go with that helper thing again. So I'd do all the work. He would sit there and smoke a cigarette and draw with his friends. I'd get the truck all loaded up. We'd go out. We'd go someplace to a store, usually like a gas station store or a 7-Eleven or a Stop and Go or whatever. He'd pull up in the back and he'd say, okay, let's go into the dairy and let's pull out all the old dairy products. Well, what do you do? He'd pull the products out and we'd put it on the truck. And then he'd go to the front and grab the guy and go, look, let's go back here and count your dairy products. Well, look, you're out of almost everything. And he'd turn right around and sell the guy back his stuff. And I go, I can't believe this. And what was funny was the guy would pay him cash for it. Said, I'll give it to you at a lower price if you pay cash. And if you don't, they would just go ahead and give him credit and he'd pay the company. So the company knew that we were selling them product that wasn't even on our truck. It was their product back to them. We'd go out, leave in the morning with a truck with maybe $5,000 worth of dairy products. We'd come back with a truck that was empty, and we'd sold $10,000 worth of dairy products, which was impossible to do. We would take the old dairy products that were outdated, we'd take out of other people's freezers, and we'd go down to the poor parts of town, and we'd sell them to those grocery store guys for pennies on the dollar. And they'd buy it cash. And so I go, you know, I can't live like this. This is ridiculous. I can't live my entire life based on a lie, based on stealing, right? So I quit that. I said, what am I going to do? You know, and I was so frustrated by that because I'd tried intellectual job working as a finance manager. I tried physical labor job even working as a truck driver. And they were both scams. Everything in life, I was really becoming pessimistic by now. Everything was a scam. So I decided, you know what? I'd owned a health club when I was a kid. I built my own health club and managed my own health club for a while. I said, I'm going to go work in a health club. So I got a job, $2.75 an hour, and all the memberships you could sell commissions-wise. And I said, you know what, if nothing else, I'm just going to be able to become a bodybuilder. I can train and eat and enjoy, and I'm in the gym, you know, all day long. But, well, I was all day. It was 12 hours a day. It was from 9 in the morning till 9 at night. Or you had the 10 in the morning till 10 at night shift, but you worked 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. And if you didn't hit your sales quota, you had to work a 6 day a week. So it was an ungodly number of hours. But I didn't really mind because I was doing what I liked. I liked helping people get in shape. I liked working out. I liked being around equipment and physical fitness. And it was something that I knew backwards and forwards because I'd already been a competitive power lifter, a competitive Olympic lifter, and competitive bodybuilder. So it was just something that really fit me. The interesting thing was, though, is how my boss presented it to me. He said, look, you know, you're lucky to have a job here. You know, you don't even have a college degree. You shouldn't complain. Because I would say, why do we work everybody 12 hours a day? I don't get it. Why don't we just hire one more person, work each person 8 hours a day, and, you know, have one more person cover the shift? And he goes, that's just not the way we do it. So I ran into in my life for the first time that thing called, it's not the way we do it, right? And it's not the way we do it concept drove me crazy forever. In fact, a guy told me a couple of things I'm going to share with you today that I think are some of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my entire life. One, he said, what I'm going to do is instead of working 40 hours a week, I'm going to work 80 hours a week. I'm going to work, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And I'm not going to have any time to spend any money, so I'm going to save every penny I make except for whatever minimal room and board is. And by the time I'm 40 years old, I'll be rich and retired. That was his plan. He was a pro football player that got cut because he couldn't make it, and that was his plan. Didn't work out for him. He did eventually become very financially successful, but that's only because he moved up in a company. It was growing. But other than that, when we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened because the story gets even crazier. I'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Retiring America, one person at a time. This is the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Now, more unconventional wisdom from your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I've been telling a story of how I became a real estate investor, and we're at the part now where it really comes out. I'd been working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week at a health club under the tutelage and mentoring of a guy who told me that the way to get rich was to work 60 hours a week, 60, 80 hours a week, save up all your money, do nothing because you have no time to do it because you're working 60, 80 hours a week, and stick it all away in investments and retire at age 40. And I said, you know what? That seemed logical to me at the time. And, I was working 12 hours a day. I enjoyed the health club business, so it worked. And I stuck all my money in different types of investments. What's funny is I put it in oil wells or gas wells, and they tapped off the gas well, said the price of gas wasn't worth taking it out of the ground. So I lost that money. I put it in limited partnerships, and those limited partnerships lost money. And I put it in the stock market. And one day I woke up, it was Black Monday, and the stock market had crashed, and I lost a large chunk of my money. And the bad part was is that the stock market crash of Black Monday stock market crash was actually on my birthday. October 20th is my birthday. I think it was the 20th, 21st that it crashed, something like that. And I looked at it. I said, I've been working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, right? And I've been saving everything I can make to get this dream to retire by the time I'm 40. And here I am. I'm 29 years old, whatever I was. I'm not going to make it. I can't go back and do another 12 years and come back and do it again. I just worked too hard, too long, saved too much. I got to find a better way. And so I started looking at everything. I looked at franchises of every type, Subway shops, McDonald's franchises, anything and everything I could look at. I looked at real estate investment programs like Dave Delgado, Robert Allen, Jeff McCone, Tommy Vu, the Milans, Ron LeGrand, Carlton Sheets, Robert Kiyosaki. There's all these different people out there that have real estate programs. And I looked at other kinds of businesses. And all told, all that, the one that made the most sense to me was a guy named Jeff McCone had a deal on how to buy rent houses and how to lease them. And simple stuff, made sense. Here's how to buy the rent house. Here's different ways to buy it inexpensively. Here's how you screen a tenant, put a tenant in there. Here's the lease you use with them. Here's the deal you make with them. Here's what you provide, you don't provide, make cash flow. Someday the tenant's going to want to buy your house from you on a lease purchase agreement, and you sell it to them, and you make a good amount of money. That was it. So simple, made sense. So I went out and did it. But to do it, I went out and tried and tried and tried and could never figure out how to make it all work. You're missing those little pieces. The concept is there, but the little pieces are missing. Until one day I ran into a guy named Bill. And Bill was a real estate broker, and he kind of walked me through it. He said, you want to buy some houses? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, here's what we do. And by the way, Bill owned about 75 houses himself, and his business model was interesting. He was a real estate agent, and he would sell a couple of houses and make commissions, and then he would take those commissions and buy him a rent house, keep the rent house, get cash flow coming in, sell a couple more houses, make some commissions, and buy another rent house. He kept doing that and had about 75 houses. So I said, well, you know, I don't know when I get to. He says, look, you at least have lunch, don't you? I know you work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Do you have lunch? I said, yes. I went over for lunch. And the guy pulls out these papers, big stack of papers. And what he had done, he had researched 10 different houses, and every single one of the houses had over 100% rate of return on it. And he looked at me and says, do you want to buy today? And I looked at him. I said, first of all, today, I'm not doing anything today. Second of all, how many is ridiculous because there's no way I could probably afford more than one house. And the guy looks at me and he says, are you wasting my time? And at that point, I literally thought either he was a complete, you know what I mean, a problem person, or I was just an idiot and I was really wasting his time. I didn't really know which. And he said, look, I can get you any of these houses, and every one of them is over 100% return. You should decide if you want to do this or not, because if you don't, I'll sell them to somebody else. And I said, well, how would I know that? I need to get to know the market, the neighborhood. I need to get some underlying information. I need to study it. Then I need to crunch numbers. I need to go look at it. He goes, look, here's what we'll do. I'm going to put you in my car. I'm going to drive you out and show you one or two or three of these houses, all of which are incredible deals. If you decide to buy one, I'll help you buy it. If you want to buy more than one, I'll help you buy more than one. I'll show you how to do that. And if you don't, then I'll just bring you back and we're done. Because I'm not here to be a taxi cab to drive you all over to town. I'm not here to be an educational piece for you to teach you about the market. I'm here to help you do what you want to do, which is buy a profitable investment property. I said, okay, I'll go out. So we went out that day and he showed me this deal that was unbelievable. In fact, I can't even explain how unbelievable it was anymore, because you just, the numbers wouldn't make any sense to you. There had been the RTC days where properties were being sold, you know, 50 cents on the dollar. And I didn't know that, but he did. And so he told me we could buy this house 50 cents on the dollar. We could put 10% down. The government would finance it for us and they would totally renovate it for us. And we could put a tenant in it before we even closed. And so all I needed to come to the table with was about $2,000. And I'd be making $2,400 a year on a $2,000 investment. It's unbelievable. I don't know, over 100. It was 132% return now that I think about it. So I go, wow, that's unbelievable. He goes, so you want this house? I said, well, let me think about it. He goes, there's no thinking about it. Either you want it or not. And he coerced me into signing. I won't tell you the whole story about that on the radio, but he coerced me into signing, and I signed and bought the house. That was the beginning of my real estate. At closing, he had already rented the house for me before I even bought it, before we closed, I'm sorry, and done everything, the renovations and everything. And so he comes to the closing table with the first month's rent and a security deposit. The rent was $500, the security deposit was $500, so he gave me $1,000. And I had to put, it was $25,000 for the house. I had to put 10% down, which was $2,500. The closing costs were $500, so I had to come with $3,000. But he gave me $1,000, so all I needed was $2,000. So on $2,000, I was making $2,400 a month right out of the blocks. I go, man, this is incredible stuff. He's laughing at me because I told you it would be. And we're at the closing table. He goes, you want any more of these? And I said, yeah. He said, how many you want? I said, three. He said, three? Why three? Why not more? I said, well, because that's all the credit cards I've got. So my goal, my plan was just go out and pull the money out of the credit cards. There was cash advance, put it in the bank, use that and buy houses. So I went and bought three more houses within 30 days. So within a 40-day period of time, no, I'm sorry, 60 days, 30 days to buy the first house, 30 days to buy the next three. Within 60 days, I own four houses. $220 a month positive cash flow. That's $880 a month of positive cash flow. And I was hooked. That was it. From that point on, everything else was easy. It was all just more houses or larger houses. In other words, I did houses, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, and all those are still single-family houses, but I did lots of those. I had up to 107 houses at one time. And it was just rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. It was unbelievably easy. And within 2.5 years of doing this, I had replaced my earned income. I had as much passive income as I had earned income. And so I decided, you know what? 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. What could I do if I actually didn't have to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week? What if I could actually go out there and hustle? And look for deals and look for things that could make me rich and work with people and connect and do all the things that real business people do. I go, man, I got to take that shot. And lo and behold, I did. Now, I don't want all of you to go out there and quit your jobs right now. So you have time to go look for deals. Don't do that. I've put together a program here at Lifestyles where we help you find the deals so you don't have to quit your job. But you do have to build up your passive streams of income to where you're comfortable if you do want to let your job go. And I had already built my passive streams of income up high enough that I had no problem letting my job go. It wasn't going to be a problem for me. So once I got out of that, then another strange occurrence happened. I was going to seminars just for more information. You know, you always want to tune up and learn more and get smarter. And I went to a seminar where a guy said that people should work together and partner in deals and stuff. And I said, well, hey, I'm that guy at the seminar. When he sent everybody to the back room to buy the course, I said, hey, I'm that guy you told him to look for, the guy with experience. And the guy goes, well, sir, we don't allow solicitation. And I said, but I'm just doing what you just said to do. I said, all these people out there think there's going to be this successful real estate guy out there that they can go partner with, and you don't even supply one for them. Here I am, and you're telling me that they shouldn't meet me? He goes, sir, we don't allow solicitation. So the guy and I went back and forth a couple of times, but the problem he had was his microphone picked up what I was saying. And so when I walked out of the room and I got mad at the guy, and I told him, you don't have to, he was going to get security to throw me out. And I said, no, you don't need that. I'll just leave. So when I left, about 200 people followed me out. And that was the beginning of Lifestyles Unlimited. I said, look, they said, give me your card. I don't have a card. I don't have a job. I don't even have a business. I have no reason to have a card. I said, I'll take a piece of paper. Here's my telephone number. I wrote it on there, my name and number. You write yours on there and pass it around. And we'll all get together in my house and we'll have a little meeting. And I'll start teaching you guys how to do this stuff. And we'll work on some deals. And that's how Lifestyles got started, at my house. Unfortunately, my wife said, it's not going to stay at our house because she was pregnant at the time and didn't want all those people around. And so on and so forth. So we had to move out and find ourselves a little cubicle somewhere to do business. And that's how Lifestyles got started. It was just that simple. Bunch of people getting together, me teaching them how to do it, them going out and doing it, and or then eventually doing partnership deals. And 35 years later, still doing the same thing, have gotten all over the country, have grown all over the country, that's a better way of saying that. And we have offices in Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio. We had one in Phoenix, but there wasn't enough business there in Phoenix. Prices were too high to make it work out for us to keep an office there. We still have people there. We still have deals there. But Phoenix was a strange market. You get all these guys from California that had no idea what value of any piece of real estate was. Their riches can be, but they couldn't buy real estate in California because the state was so crazy. So they'd come to Phoenix and buy up all the real estate and pay way too much for it. Still kind of the same way. So I want to end this thing today was a guy sent me an email yesterday. He said, look, I contacted you about 2 years ago, a member, and asked you, you know, I've been doing single family. Is it time to move up to multifamily? And back then you told me it was not, that the market was really not in the right place for multifamily. And it really wasn't, because what had happened was the prices people were paying for commercial real estate, because the interest rates were so low, was way too high and the properties weren't making sense anymore. And then they raised the interest rates and boom, all these properties were taking a loss. They were taking a downward spiral in value. And I said, it's just not the time, because it was still going up in value and had not come down. Well, now it has come down for 2 years. The prices are right back to where they should be. The deals are good again. They make sense again. And we're doing lots of deals again. So, you know, you got to go through those cycles sometimes. And that was a really big, big one, a big black swan event, because no one knew that, you know, the Fed was going to slash the heck out of interest rate or going to raise the heck out of interest rates. Or so they say, because honestly, for 2 years before it happened, I was telling people they're going to raise the interest rates. There's no way interest rates can stay at 2%. The average interest rate for 50 years has been 7%. 7 point something. So bottom line, it's now a great time to buy again. Bottom line, if any of those stress points that I just discussed today's show are hitting you and you know that you're working hard, you're working for someone that doesn't see your futures being as important as you do, if you know that the plan that you have for the future, your 401k and your IRA aren't going to get you where you want to be, if you know there's no way for you to retire ever in the future, and you want to find a system that can do it with you. You can come in and go through the program. You can build your real estate portfolio. You can do it as an individual, or you can do it as a passive in somebody else's deal. Or if you want to grow fast, you want to be like I was the lead investor, which nowadays they call syndicators. Back then, I called it a lead investor. I put the deals together, and people put their money in them, and we went and bought real estate. And, you know, it's all available here if you're at that point. I ran into a guy the other day in a parking lot. I was getting out at Lowe's, and this guy was out, and his wife was getting out of their car. They were getting into the car. I was getting out of mine. And he goes, "Hey, are you Del Wamsley?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Nice to meet you." We shook and everything, kind of, you know, pleasantries. And then I said, "Are you ready to retire yet?" And he goes, "Yeah, I definitely am. And my wife, she is really ready." And I said, "Well, then it's time. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Boom, here I am. You ran into me. There's no more excuse. You need to get in there." Guys, listen to me now. If this resonated with you today at all, contact Lifestyles Unlimited, get involved, and remember always, it's not just for some money, it's a lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.